All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Tony D'Angelo. You're watching Nasty Knuckles.
You're listening to Nasty Knuckles, the Hockey Outlaws podcast, with your host, Derek Nasty Suttermeyer, and former Philadelphia Flyer enforcer, Riley Cote, as they go behind the scenes with your favorite NHL players. Time to face off.
All right, welcome back. What's happening, Nasty?
What's up, Rigorelia? What do you got in your hands there, buddy?
Oh, this whole thing?
Yeah, that thing.
Oh, the old Tovey Entourage.
The newest
model. And had a couple snipes with it the other night, a couple apples.
Broke a camera,
yeah, with shooting with baller the other day, yeah, blasting some slappers, and I think it might have been a little snapper that actually broke.
Everybody loves
the snapper. Lens, but yeah, who doesn't? this is it, you know. This is the official.
That is the real deal. Have been talking about. In all honesty, this thing's amazing. This week's guest put it in his hand yesterday and was like, whoa, I wish we'd had a righty here.
I know,
but,
right?
Tony D'Angelo was feeling it, and he was talking about the balance like we've talked about it, and just how light this is. The lightest stick made.
Yeah, 100%. And, this is the real deal, Nast. I know we talk a lot about the Tovey, and people are probably think we're blowing smoke. Tovey's on the cusp of breaking through getting into a couple NHL guys' hands, working from the youth hockey level up, and eventually finding its way. But legitimately, I love it, man. I thought I loved the other one, the original model, until I got this bad boy, even lighter, more balanced, and then these little whatever you want to call them, like little dimples, little dimples for feel, for puck control, and
I'm not real happy that you have one and I don't yet, but we're gonna work on that today. Coming at you, Tovey, Richard, Aaron.
A little more pull there, Nast.
I know, I do. I definitely do. But, well, they've seen me shoot a puck, but that has helped me. And even, you know, a couple people said that to me, but the puck just flies off this blade. I mean, it really does. No joke.
It does. And the other night, I actually wanted to smash it over a goalie's head that was getting in my face and chirping me all game. But I held my composure.
You're a lover.
Held the composure, relaxed, scored a couple, was making plays, landed up winning the game. So,
no big deal.
You know how it goes. But Tony D'Angelo, the newest member of the Philadelphia Flyers, was in studio yesterday and
happy to connect with him. What an awesome guy, man. He's going to bring some fire to the Flyers, no question.
Man, you know what was great was he got here a little early. We were shooting the shit, and I'm like, man, maybe we should save this, you know. But talked to him at an awesome interview with him, and he stuck around almost an hour. You know, just you feel like he – it's like, you know, we were talking to someone today, Johnny Stevens, who's coaching out in Vegas, and he was just like, when they're down there skating with his kids and the other guys, he's like, he just gets the room going right away. And you felt that here just with the couple hours we were with him, and that's going to be huge for their locker room. A guy like him, you know, and he's buddies with Hazy, who's great in the locker room. And I just think, you know, just got to wait and see what happens here, because I think he's going to have a really big impact on the team and in a positive way.
Yeah, no doubt. I agree. And just to your point, when he walked in here, I felt like I knew the guy for 10 years, you know, bro-ing it up, saying hi to all of us, sitting down early.
Yep.
Good energy. Obviously a Philly guy.
Yeah.
Really sensed the Philly in him, you know, the passion in him. Obviously known as an emotional guy, but we talk about it, that, you know, he's matured and he's finding ways to harness and direct that energy towards being more productive on the ice, as well as more productive teammate. So,
really
looking forward to this season. And after sitting down with him yesterday, I mean, it was awesome. I mean, I really, really got a good feeling about that addition to the team and his excitement, you know, his excitement to come here and play and produce.
The one thing, you know, as we knew before we kind of got to know him a little bit, is that his compete level, I know we've said it 100 times, I'll say it again, it's through the roof, and you need that.
No doubt.
And he just brings a passion. You can see it, an emotion that maybe, you know, we've been missing a little bit here. And he's just going to have a big impact here. And you can feel it already. Yeah. You know, it's kind of like he's kind of chomping to get going. He got a little bit of time here. But it's going to be exciting.
Yep, I agree. And, if there's no sense in talking about it anymore, Nast.
Let's get into it.
Episode 80. Here we go.
80.
Welcome back. I'm Riley Cote.
And I'm Derek Settlemyer. And this week, we are absolutely jacked to have our guest. Welcome home, brother, Mr. Tony D'Angelo. What's up, bro?
Thank you. Thanks for having me on, too. Excited to be home.
Yes, I can imagine, man. It's awesome. We were totally pumped when the moves happened and you end up signing. So happy to have you, brother. Your style of game, Flyers really need it. Really do.
I appreciate that. Yeah, man. I think so as well.
Yeah, man. Yeah, welcome back. Appreciate you coming out.
Yep, thank you. No, it was honestly the night before, like Thursday night was a draft, right? It's usually Friday, Saturday. It was Thursday night, and Carolina told me they were like, we're making a final offer, and if you say no, we're going to trade you, but in a nice way. Like we were getting along real well. It wasn't like testy negotiation or anything there. And we were just talking, and I said, hey, like can't accept that right now. I have arbitration rights. Like we could wait this out, or we could see what happened. And then my agent started texting, because we had permission to speak to other teams. I have to make sure I put that out there before.
Before
I have to go back and get in trouble. But we had permission, so the Flyers were the first one I want to call. You know, you look around the team, and actually the fit was right, too.
Right.
It wasn't like you weren't looking for a fit, but fit was right, and as soon as they were in, I kind of wasn't really looking too far elsewhere. You know, the other teams were in, and we were talking, but it was kind of just like, hey, if we can do Philly, we do it. And then nothing happened Thursday night, so I was like, oh, maybe I'm going to stay. And then Friday morning, I was driving down the shore, and my phone starts. People knew before me. Like, I knew it was going to happen, but then I'm getting all, like, these little question marks and eyes, like, from all my friends up here, and it was done. So it worked out pretty good.
Yeah,
man, we were definitely excited about that. It's, you know, you know, you play in the league. Last couple years here have been tough, and the identity's been lost a little bit. Last year, tons of injuries really, really cost the guys. We've talked about that a lot. But bringing a guy in with your compete level is huge for this team right now. And, you know, adding you in and then Torch coming in. You know, I've worked with Torch a lot with USA Hockey, and he's a fiery guy. You're a fiery guy. We talked about this leading up before you even signed here. Like, it'd be great to get you because – not that there aren't guys on the team that care. Everyone cares, but, like, your game is, like, suited for here.
Yeah.
I mean, I believe.
No, I think, like, last year we played the Flyers one time. They're missing all four centers.
So, yeah, right.
You know, you can't just write, you know, you can't just write us off.
Right.
You miss all four centers, you ain't beating anybody in this league. I don't care.
That's the truth.
100%.
Couturier, Hayes out. Yep. Kind of a, you know, you put it, Jordan Stahls and Aho's against, you know, now you go down the lineup, right? You have to move guys up. So – injuries played a big role. So I think it's you want to be healthy to start, get Coots back and Hazy back fully healthy and get Joel back pretty quick. But identity-wise, I think that everybody cares differently. You know,
yeah,
guys care, but they show it differently. I shouldn't say care differently. They show it a little bit differently. I think that the fans will appreciate the way I show it. I think it's more of a Philly style. That's where I'm from.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
So exactly.
Back it's home. Just, you know, and having torts and bringing that kind of fire in might get some more out of certain guys as well. Yes. And I think it's going to be – it's a new year, right? We're not going to – everyone wants to talk about the last couple of years, but for me it's – and what I've heard from the organization and talking to everybody, we're ready to go for September, and we're going to play it from there.
That's right.
100%. And not to mention your offensive production, right? I mean – if the back end could have used that the last couple of years. Again, not talking about the past, but your compete, the offensive production complement to, I mean, whoever they line up playing with, I'm not going to start making assumptions, nonetheless, it's certainly going to help the boys play away from the net and hopefully the offensive zone.
No, that's my main thing. I mean, on top of all the compete and all that other stuff I want to bring to the team, the main thing is I got to get the puck in the forwards' hands.
Right.
Right? You don't want to be rimming it all over the place and chipping it out where they get it. These guys want the puck, so my job is I'm getting paid to give them the puck. It's not for me to carry it up all the time myself. I mean, if I do that, it's good. It's great. You know, guys do it, but the more I can get the puck in our forwards' hands and they go, it's less defending too.
Exactly,
100%, right? Less stress on you.
Defending or whatever. I say, well, I defend when I get the puck. I'm out of the zone. Let's go.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Yeah. That's the truth, right?
Exactly.
And
exactly.
You just compete hard, and you know everybody can defend. So that'll be what I try to bring most.
Yeah, and you're coming off a positive year in Carolina, right? Solid point production. Yeah. I think you had 10 goals, right? It was maybe the most you've had in the NHL.
Late. Last 20 games, I didn't score. I've been thinking about it still.
Yeah.
20 games. No, we had a good team, and we played kind of the style that the whole league's going to, in a sense. Like you play every team, and there's different, as you know, there's different like little tweaks teams do, maybe little forechecks. Some teams sit back a little more into the zone, but everybody's playing that fast style now.
Sure.
And I think that Carolina is like here with it already when other teams are starting to catch up to it. That's the way they played since Brendan Moore took over.
Right.
And now it's 4 years in, and a lot of guys have been there, so – playing a fast style, it's the way the game's going. You got to play fast.
Yeah.
Look at Colorado and Tampa, that series.
No kidding. No kidding.
Both good defending teams, too, and still creating 20, 30 grade A chances a piece of game in the Stanley Cup. So it's that's just the way the game's going. You got to play with speed, and you got to have the puck.
Yeah, no doubt. How was Brindy to play for? He must have been awesome.
He's the best. I feel like, the main reason for wanting to stay in Carolina for any player, I probably can speak for all players, is him. He's... you just know what you're getting. Like, you come into the rink, and it's not like – I mean, obviously, we had 54 wins or whatever it was, too, so it makes it a little easier.
Yeah,
you're not
true.
Coming in with 35 wins and fighting for a spot. Maybe be a little more pissy than, you know, you'd be getting at that point. But he's a great motivator. He comes in 82 nights a year and gives you something that will fire you up. You know, sometimes you're sitting in a game, you're like – you're in Arizona. We were playing in Arizona. It was like 800 people there this year at one point. He still give you, like – you know, we had been struggling a little bit. We went to Colorado, got beat up by the Avalanche, and then – coming out of Arizona, he had you, like, fired up as if this was, like, a must-win game.
Yeah.
And he gives you what he wants, and that's it. That's what you do. There's no, like, ends, if, or buts about it. But he's not going to scream at you and yell at you or whatever. You might start losing ice time if you're not playing that way. But our guys, everybody knew the way we were playing. That's just the way we played. There was no, like, nobody even needed talks. It wasn't like there was a guy or two that weren't buying in or were everyone did it. Maybe not everybody loved their ice time and stuff all the time.
Sure.
That's what it is with the team. But
yeah.
He just... he's got it down, and he's an unreal guy, like, off the ice, too. He's quiet, does his own thing and stuff, but the guy outlift us in the gym and stuff.
Yeah, no kidding, eh? A Greek god, my God.
Yeah, great coach. And not like anybody I talk to around the league, obviously, I would always recommend, you know, if you had a chance to play for him, you're not coming to Philly. I'm recruiting a Philly.
Yeah, right.
If this wasn't one of the teams in on you, you know, if you have a chance to play for him, it's something you should do as a player.
He's a good man. He was, my first year here, he was here, and he was my favorite guy. Yeah. Like, he was just such a good dude, and he liked sports. And I remember him and I went to a Georgetown Villanova game because AI was playing for Georgetown.
Yeah.
He's like, this guy's supposed to be good. Let's go. And I'm like, hell yeah, I played basketball in college. Yeah. And so I love basketball. But he was just a great guy. And I remember the first game we had in the morning for the morning skate, he comes walking downstairs and he is just drenched. He worked, a full workout lift, and then he'd go up and ride a bike after practice, and he'd come give you 120% for the games. Yeah. But just a great human, I think. And I figured you'd like him. We were, you know, I know some of your family that they come into the shop and stuff, and I was telling him, I think he's really going to like Roddy because he's just a good man. So
yeah, when I was going to figure out where I was going to sign last summer, he had called me, and we talked because I was going to terminate my deal in New York. you know, I didn't really care about the buyout money. I kind of wanted to be made whole in a sense. Like I, right. You know, you don't want to just throw away all the money you're going to make.
Sure.
But I didn't care about the money. I said, I want to get back and play. So I told New York, I said, I'll terminate my deal. And I wound up speaking, you know, so they said, all right, you can speak with teams and stuff. And I spoke with Rod during last season, you know, the season I didn't play. And, you know, they had Hamilton and stuff at the time, so it wasn't like a pressing need for him, but it would have been a good fit. And we talked, and then obviously it didn't work out. But then I talked to him again. He called me. I was driving to my buddy's house, and I won't forget, he called me 30 seconds, literally, maybe 40. And I was sold on playing for him. That's all it was. He called me, did all the talking. I said, hello, and he went, boom, 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 boom. This is why I want you. This is where you're going to fit. This out is. And I call my agent. I said, hey, like, you know, I know we got to keep hearing what else is out there, but I'm kind of – Carolina's kind of the spot, you know, as in last summer. So he was just a good guy, like you said. He's,
yeah, I mean, I love the guy.
I don't know him, but I've heard nothing but great things about the guy.
I got a question for you about North Carolina. I'm from there. So how was the pace of living down there? A little slower, but, like, did you enjoy your time?
I mean, I lived in a busy apartment complex.
Oh, okay.
Like, we had, like, 8 or 9 guys in the team there.
Oh, that
And then
helps.
A couple guys across the street. So it was actually kind of not laid back at all. It was packed in there. Like, that's where yeah. everything went down. It was, like, North Hills part of
Raleigh.
So it was jammed
to stay. Yeah,
yeah,
I know
you stay at the Renaissance across the way. Like, that's where everything's at. So even, you know, from the outside, maybe the guys that were married with kids that were living in houses and developments might be a little slower, but for us, it was like living in a little city there. It was packed.
Yeah, that's cool.
Which
that's
was nice. Cool. I like it almost better like that.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, and now we're talking about coaches, and you're talking about, like, the communication that that Brind'Amour had with you. I'd read somewhere, maybe when you were with the Rangers, maybe early part there, David Quinn being a good communicator or, you know, opening up the communication lines maybe early.
I mean, me and him didn't always see eye to eye. Like, when I was there in New York, I liked him. I liked him as a guy. He wasn't a bad guy. Like, we were talking about anything but hockey. So he was great sometimes. When we got into the hockey thing, we didn't totally agree. And personalities kind of didn't totally match either, in a sense. But it got better as time went on there. But come from college, I feel like they're always decent communicators
because
they're developers.
Sure.
You know, you're developing in college. And we had a young team there. So he was pretty good in the sense that he was able to, you know. But he was also trying to get the full control of the veteran guys too. So it's a tough job.
It's tough, right? Yeah.
They're coming into kind of a rebuilding team, but it also has some real good veterans.
Yeah.
You know, you have Panarin, you have Zibanejad, you have some guys that are looking like they want to win, right?
Yep.
Young guys hop into the league and they're like, I'm in the league. Like, you know, they just want their time, and then as they want to win too, but they're happy to be there, right? And we had a lot of guys like that, rookies and first overall picks, second overall picks. So it was kind of a tough spot for them. And, you know, you look at Gallant comes in now, and even more of a veteran team, they go to the conference finals.
Yeah.
And it makes him look bad, but I wouldn't really say that. I think if he had the team again this year, you know, Gallant obviously made some nice adjustments, but they made some good moves in the summer, too, to build a team. So, I don't know. It's hard to – I wouldn't put what happened in New York all on him, like, with the record-wise. So it's a team we had.
Right.
Yeah, Yeah, and then now playing for Torts, right? I mean, he's got this reputation, you know, being obviously hard and dramatic and stuff. We've talked to a few guys that have played for him, and it sounds like he's evolved as a human, as we all do, right?
Yeah.
And maybe a little softer towards. I don't want to say that in the context of, like, Flyer fans going nuts. So, like, he's soft now.
Soft.
But you know what you're going to get with Torts, right? Are you looking forward to playing for him?
I talked to a lot of guys around the league, even before I wind up getting traded and signing here, because it's something you got to think about, right?
When you're
you know, I was in a great fit, guy I loved. And anybody that I talked to said, you're going to be a perfect fit with Torts.
Yeah.
He said, you guys have similar personalities, and maybe one or two times that might cause a little whatever
right.
you know, you want to call it. But they said, you guys are perfect for each other. And I trust these people that I was speaking with, players and then people that know him.
Yep.
And then I talked to him, and I could just tell the passion he's got right away when you're on the phone with him. That's what I like. You know, I have a passion for the game, and I want to win. And sometimes, like, guys like me and him and other players across the league and people, you could see it more. But everybody wants to win. So to me, like, if a coach comes up to you and screams at you, it doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
Like, do you want to get screamed at? Do I want someone mother after me down my head? Not really.
No.
I don't think any grown man really wants that.
It's not a lot of fun.
But we're all trying to do the same thing. We're trying to win. So for me, it's part. You're passionate and emotional. It happens sometimes. Even teammates, you know, holding each other accountable. That kind of stuff happens.
Right.
So for me, I love the passion. I'm ready for it.
For sure. Yeah. He's an emotional guy. You're an emotional guy. And that's really, you said, like, the name of the game, right? Yeah. I mean, it does trickle over to other guys, right?
I think it translates.
Sleeping. Yeah.
You look at every team he's had, and you look into Columbus team. Sure, you had Werenski and Jonesy on the point, which makes any defense pretty good there.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the forward groups he had there over them years weren't overly, you know, you wouldn't be like, oh, they're Colorado or Toronto.
Right.
And they were always good teams. And they always, they still found ways to score and everything.
They were hard to play against, too.
Yeah, they're hard to play. Yeah. You always go into, you know, they weren't the toughest teams in the league in Columbus. They weren't building, like, you know, real heavyweight teams. But you go into Columbus, a tough game.
Yeah.
They're on the forecheck. They're on your hard. You're not, it's tough to get pucks through and, you know, in the ozone trying to get the net and they're boxing you out. Like, that's what we need. So
yeah.
I think it's going to go over well.
I feel like we didn't win there for a long time.
Columbus.
Like, in Columbus.
Yeah. Right.
Like, I mean, it were just. I don't remember what the exact baller. You should know the stats, but we didn't win there forever. Like, it was just like years that we didn't win. But it was a tough place to play, like you said.
Well, it should be like that here too. And I feel like, from a player's perspective, and obviously I'm a diehard Flyers fan my whole life, so maybe I'm a little more, you know, like in tune with it. But going into Philly and playing the Flyers is always supposed to be a tough thing.
Yes,
right.
You know, whether they were the AC, the first seed, the 15th seed, it doesn't really matter. What,
right.
You know what it was like. It was always crowded. It was, the fans were into it. And it was a, you're playing the Flyers. Like, it was a tough game.
It's a dog fight.
You know better. Yeah, yeah. 100%. You're coming into Philly to play the Flyers. Could be, who knows what's going to happen depending on what, how the game goes.
Right.
And I think that's what you kind of want. I think that's what he stands for, too. Like, you're coming into, it doesn't mean we're going to be having line brawls or anything like that.
Right.
Just, you're coming into play the Flyers in a tough game.
yeah, right.
We'll have DeLaurier hitting it big back if he ends up. And,
yeah, that's,
you know.
Just needs to be a tough place to play. I think
yeah, exactly.
Kind of exemplifies that. It's, you're playing a Tortorella team. It's tough game tonight.
Yes.
That's the way it goes.
100%. Do you think his style, I mean, his style of coaching, his system philosophy is in line with the way you see the game, play the game?
Yeah, I mean, to me, defending is, like when I first came into the league, I'd probably say no. You know, because I wanted to get it and go and play offense and try to make my own name in the league and be an offensive defenseman. But now, like, you watch how you win games and, you know, you play on different teams. And I was in New York. We started to get better at the end. And I go to a real top-end team in Carolina that were, you know, we won games a different way. But if you have to defend, you know, in Carolina, like, you call us a high-flying team. And we let up the least amount of goals in the league. Like, our goalies won the, what is it, that?
Yeah.
What's Bill that Jennings goal? Is what it,
yeah.
Like the goalie Jennings. Tandem, whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
So like
yep.
You defend. If you defend in a proper way, and then when you have the puck, you go with it.
Right.
Like, you know, you can't speed dump and chase the whole game. You got to make plays. Like, you have to score.
For sure.
So I feel like if you take care of the D-zone, and like any Tortorella team has, and
yep.
I feel like everyone's going to be bought in. You have to buy in, I think. Everybody, like, talking to guys. Everyone's ready to go. Like, they want to turn this page around. And
yes.
You buy in on the defensive side, and whatever the coach wants, D-side. Once you get in the O-zone, you got to make plays. And I feel like we're going to have that, you know, ability to do so. And when you make plays and defend well, usually come out on the right side, then you get good goaltending and stuff. So 5 years ago, I would tell you I want to play for the most offensive coach in the league. Let's just go, go, go. But now,
right.
You know, I want to win, and I think that's the way to do it. So,
yeah.
They, Florida last year was crazy, the way they played. I mean, it's tough to stop.
Right.
And they had the guys to do it. Not every team could do it, right?
Yeah.
I don't think you can go in and coach that way in a bigger, slower team. Like, look at Calgary. Calgary did it a different way with Sutter.
Yeah.
They scored a ton, and I guess you would kind of say Sutter and Torts have a similar reputation.
Old school, and right, yeah.
Look at Calgary, they defend it well, they scored a ton of goals.
Yeah.
You know, your scorers are going to score. If you're in the, you know, if you had the puck more, you're going to get it. If you're defending well and you're out, let's go, and then the goals will follow.
That's it, right? It's like the mentality, you think of defending well, right? It's the old school way is like having, you know, big 6'7" defensemen that are, you know,
they're
holding that front, right?
Yeah.
But like, if you can spend 5 seconds in your zone and move the puck up and play in the offensive zone, obviously that's better than spending 25-30 seconds in your zone, but even if you're in a good position, right?
Yeah.
You're just exhausting your players and you're not generating offense, obviously.
I mean, we played in Carolina, it was man-to-man, which is tough.
Yeah, that's tough.
Man-to-man. It's good when you get used to it, because now you're just, if you're my guy, I'm on you the whole time, never leaving you.
You never have to leave.
But it could also cause total chaos,
too.
You know, 30 seconds.
You're at the point, right?
I'm at the point blocking a one-timer or whatever. The forward or the front of the net rarely happened because we defend it so well. But I don't anticipate that being our style here. But
no.
I like the swarming style, too, where you know, a guy, get a guy in your backhand, now boom, we're swarming this guy before he can make a play rather than giving guys time and space. So I feel like that's the way it's going to be, and we're going to be hard. You got to be hard and a little nasty and physical. So I'm hoping all that. I'm real optimistic. I think that all that's going to come through in camp because there's a lot of good players here.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know, I look at the roster and the Provorov and Sanheim and Ristolainen, and hopefully that Ellis is going to be healthy. You get Ellis back, and we have some young guys. You know, Yorkie and there's other guys that I've seen. I don't know all too well as it goes down to the minors there, but in the front we have good players. So,
yeah.
You know, 2 years ago the Flyers were one game away from the conference final.
Yep.
And there's not that many different faces. Actually, there might be some better faces in a sense. So I'm pretty confident in what we could do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think that definitely your signing definitely bumps this defense up. I'm guessing he plays with Provy. Who knows? But I think
you're playing GM.
I'm playing GM. Yeah. It's a, hey, I'm armchair GM.
Right? Yeah, right.
But I mean, it would be a pretty good fit. I mean, who knows? You could play with Sandy. Who knows? But I think the D right now, and especially if we could get Ellis back.
Oh, that would be massive.
That would be huge. Just question marks all around him right now. But if you get him back, it's a plus.
Yep.
With adding you, obviously, is huge. And we talked about this last week. Definitely an upgrade on the D, obviously.
No doubt.
And that's huge. That's a big part of it.
It's a huge part of
not
it.
Not spending time in our end.
Yeah, just moving
that,
the like puck
said,
up.
Moving that puck. And yeah. Provy's a really good D-man. And Sanny, too, like you said, yeah. Ruslan. And Bronner, I think, is a big guy to bring back. He's, you know what you're getting.
You know what you're getting with him.
No, Bronner's as solid as he gets. Yeah. Anywhere he goes, he's solid. He can play anywhere you need him to play.
And yep.
Kills penalties real good. He was, honestly, earlier in the year last year, obviously, gets traded to New York. He plays a different role with them. But he was great.
Like, yep.
You know, he was really good playing with Provy and stuff. So it's another real good signing. I mean, he obviously doesn't seem like a signing because he was just here.
Yeah, I know, right?
You had a draft pick for him. You weren't going to go to playoffs, and he comes right back and signs again. So he's a good guy, too.
Yeah, good dude. Really good dude. He's a real dry guy, you know, real quiet, and he just chirps. He's something on the side of his mouth, and you just start dying laughing. Like, where'd you come from? Even though you're in here. But, yeah, I'm excited about it.
Yeah, no doubt. And you're still considered a young guy. You're 26 years old, right? Yeah. And you've played, 6 years pro now?
Yeah.
Maybe seven. Obviously, evolving as a player, as a person. Like, what are things you're working on in the offseason? Because, you know, when you're a younger guy, you're going into the offseason, you're trying to stick to the team. You know what I mean? You're trying to make the team. Now you're established, obviously, you know, a big contract back in Philly. Like, what was your aim this summer?
My first 2 years in the league was like you know, that's why you got to give guys time. Like, we have some guys, Frosty, Tippett, like, they get some time. People are like, you know, I think people get on them a little too quick here. These guys are young guys still.
Yeah.
Former first-round picks, high-level skill and stuff. My first year is in Arizona for 39 games, New York for 32. I got hurt at the end of the year in New York. And, you know, you could have – there's some question marks there. Is he going to be sent down to the minors again in 3rd year? Are they going to trade him, whatever? Then I came back for my 3rd year. I played 60 games, played pretty well. And now the last 2 years have been, you know, I obviously missed one in between there. But real good. So, like, it takes time. And now I'm kind of, like, know where I'm at, established in the league. You know, I know what kind of player I am. So it's just keeping the strength up, doing a little bit different training, you know, trying to mix it up in summers here to see what really works. But I'm training now at Voorhees with the Flyers guys. So I'm on their programs here and working. And we have the ice 5 days a week, which is unreal as well. So,
yeah.
But my game kind of I just work on all skills throughout the summer. It's tough to say, I'm going to work on defense in the summer. Who the hell am I going to go?
One-on-one.
Force a guy to go out and start cross-checking.
Well, I didn't want to say anything, but we are on a men's league team. If you want to join.
So that part's tough, like, you know, to work on defense in the summer.
Sure.
Like, you're going to work on sticks and all that kind of stuff, but I'm not going to call forwards out like buddies of mine and guys and say, hey, let's go one-on-one so I can just pound you in the corner.
Broads.
And try to pin you.
Get Broads over. Run Broads a couple times.
Right now, just working on all the skills, trying to keep, you know, putting new things in on my blue line work and for the power play and stuff, being a little more deceptive in shots and one-timers. So, and then when the season starts, looking forward to working with another set of coaches and stuff to really fine-tune all that defense stuff, stick positioning if they have anything from watching me in clips or whatever. So I'm big on that. I feel like that's something that I want to be known as being really good at on the defensive side.
Yeah.
Which right now, I mean, thought I had a real good year defensively last year, and my head coach agreed, which I liked. I might start holding that clip on my phone and playing it. But they say I'm no good defensively. But reputation-wise, people tend to say, you know, that's my downfall. So I want to turn that where everybody says it's a good thing, too, because the offense is going to be the same. So I take that personal when people say that my defense needs work. Sure, I'm always going to keep working on all of it, but
of course,
I want to be known as a good defender.
Yeah, that's absolutely awesome. And then, like, on the other side of it, so you're talking about, like, the physical, you know, physical body, you know, the physical skill. You're known as an emotional guy in the past. You know, I think most people are, you know, aware of, you know, some of the controversies and stuff like that. As an emotional guy, anything you're working on to maybe channel the energy, the emotion into more productivity?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, off the ice, you're never going to have an issue. You know, it's just as calm as it gets off the ice. Like, I could sit here all day.
Yeah.
This is my personality, and I'm awful. You know, I clown around in the locker room and all that kind of shit. But, I mean, stuff that's happened off the ice, I took responsibility for it. I've learned from it. And I think that, you know, there's some stuff that I didn't agree with that happened. But at the same time, I know I wasn't totally innocent in everything that happened, too. So I take my part in it. And then, in, you know, last year I thought I really matured in a sense. I'm still emotional when the game's going on. You know, you see them
Hell up
games there where probably got the camera on me, mother effing all over the place, or slamming a stick here and there. Like, that's never leaving.
No,
I'm never going to sit there and tell a GM, and I am honest with anybody I talk to, I say, it's not leaving. You know, you might have to yell at me one time because I smashed my stick over the post or whatever, or wanted to give a guy a shot. Like, that's just who I am, and it comes out when I play. But I thought I matured a lot. I'm 26. I'm going to be 27 when the season starts. I feel like at some point you got to, you know, you can't even just talk about it. You got to show it. And I thought last year I did a real good job of that. You know, there's still some times where I got to keep holding it, holding the line, and I thought I did a good job. It was close. I did a good job, and I plan on continuing to keep maturing and maturing as the years go on.
That's great. Yeah, that's awesome answer. And we talked about it. Like, obviously, this past year, you mentioned it. We talked about it before you got here today, and we said the same thing. Like, it's showing in your play, right? I mean, because it's easy to cross the line and freak out and panic when things aren't going well, right? Yeah. I mean, we're all guilty of it.
For sure.
But, you know, I think the guys are able to harness the energy and refocus it, you know, scoring a goal, making a play, you know, whatever that lands up being in the hockey game.
One thing I've always felt like I've done, and my coaches may disagree, but I've always felt like even when I am, like, getting going and snap, my play doesn't change.
Right.
My attitude may change. I may be yelling at guys on the other team or wanting to give a guy a cross-check or something, but my play, actually, when I have the puck or whatever, a defender, doesn't change. I'm not going to go out of my way to try to kill a guy or throw an elbow at somebody. You know, I've never really done that. Like, I've never been suspended for any hits or, like, dirty plays like that. So sometimes I start, like, going a little bit. Like, here I go. But I think, you know, my play kind of stays on par. It doesn't go off the rails. And I think that's the most important thing. If you're getting close to that line, so be it. Like, as long as it's in the right thing. But don't let the play go on the line, too, where you're, like, about to do some crazy shit.
Yeah, yeah, right.
You gotta, like, it's got to be in between.
The one thing we've talked about is your compete level. And, dude, don't ever get rid of it. I know you won't. It's not in your DNA. It's what we need.
100%.
It's what we need. The game needs it.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to have passion. You have to have emotion.
Yeah, no doubt.
It's so important.
That's the game.
And if you do take, like, guys, you know, Riles, I don't have to tell you. I don't have to tell you either. Yeah. But, you know, there's time where you're going to get pissed off. You might do something dumb on the ice. Well, kill it off, boys, because, you know, you got to make a stance here and there. Sometimes, but it's just, you're a perfect fit here, I think, man. Yeah. And it's what we need this.
Yeah,
we need,
I can agree with
your
you more.
Game. And I mean, not only that, I mean, your skill level, everything you do, but just that fuck you attitude. Yeah. You're coming in here to Philly.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's going to be a hard game, like you talked about earlier. So I'm excited as hell for
it. No doubt.
Yeah, same here. I think that's what we need. Like we were talking about before, we need Flyers' identity back, and I think that even the current players know that. And once they get healthy and stuff, and everybody's in there, you need it. You know, it's tough when you have young guys coming in; they're just coming out of college or whatever, trying to get games. They're not thinking in their head, "Hey, this is the Flyers." Without they're trying to, they're just getting there. They want to prove that they belong in the league, right? So you can't blame them. But as the guys that are older and that have been around the league and stuff now that are here, and the guys that have been Flyers, we gotta get an identity back and show it right from even our own camp, So I'm hoping that I can bring that, and I think I'll do a good job at it.
Yeah, I think so too. And you grew up a lifelong Flyers fan. Who was your guy growing up?
Believe it or not, I was actually on the other podcast yesterday, and they said, "Who did you like as a player?" You know, Hunter Brody. You guys know Hunter Brody?
Oh yeah, of course, yeah.
And I said, Chris Pronger. I said, "We don't play anything alike. Like, we're totally different." I said, "But I love Pronger. But my favorite player of them all, I was a big JR fan for a while. I was always a Flyer. Like, you know, my buddies, we go to. I remember we'd be at practice, and everybody's favorite player to wear a number, like." Crosby, we got guys from Jersey wearing Crosby, and we got guys from here wearing, you know, Bergeron or whatever it is. I only Flyers.
Yeah.
So I don't give a shit about any of the other teams. My Flyers, whoever's we got. But Peter Forsberg and Mike Richards.
Oh, yes.
Oh,
dude.
Yeah.
Mike Richards, I loved the way he played.
Sure.
And that was a Flyer, in my opinion.
Oh, 100%.
And he fought, and he hit, and he was nasty, and he was great. He was great with the puck. Yep. He scored, he killed penalties, he played on the power play.
Yep.
I loved him.
Yep.
I loved Mike Richards, but Forsberg's game I loved. I mean, and he was a little nasty too. Like he would throw out reverse check.
Yeah, reverse check.
We talked about that.
He wasn't going to fight or anything, which I didn't care about. But he played hard. Like he played like
sure
a,
he did.
Away. Got big defensive coming to hit him. He put his shoulder right in their jaw. You know, and they're thinking they're going to throw the hit, and then they get hit. And him and Gagne together.
Yeah,
it was
great. Oh, yeah.
I loved them two guys. But
what amazing vision he had.
He was great. I mean, when he came that one year, I don't know how many goals Gagne scored. He had to score high 30s or 40s.
Oh yeah, he definitely was.
But no, those two guys. I loved them two guys. Like Richards he was great.
Yeah.
I loved him. So that was kind of my, and then when they went to the cup, I was like 14 or 15. Yeah. So that was kind of like
2010.
My wheelhouse of, watching.
That was the playoff round against Montreal, the shift.
The shift.
Yeah, the shift.
My favorite goal ever.
I log on YouTube sometimes and I don't even know why it comes up. I feel like my phone or computer, like, listens to
me. Oh, it definitely does.
And I'm, like, typing in the shift, and it'll come up, like, videos you might like, and it's, like, the shift, Mike Richards.
Yep.
Like, I haven't looked at any of this stuff, and here's Mike, and then I watch it.
Yeah.
And then it keeps coming up.
It's hard not to watch it, right?
Yeah, man.
Insane shit. He had the first pass, they could have scored, and he comes back down, hits another guy. It was
insane.
It was great. Yeah.
Yeah, I love Richie. I Rick obviously played with Richie. That year you're talking about was my last year, and what an epic leader, Jesus. And just all around guy. I mean, talk about, like, doing everything, right? Yeah. I mean, he was a grunt.
That's what I think a hockey player is. He was a hockey player.
Like, he was a hockey player.
Especially Philly fans, like, that's what they think a hockey player is.
Yeah. Yes, you exactly. Know,
that's what it was. So that's why I was such a big fan. Like,
yeah.
In my family, like, my dad and stuff, and they grew up, my cousins, you know, they grew up, they were watching the Bullies, Broad Street Bullies. So,
sure.
Like, their version of a hockey player was always that. Like, yeah, you had to have that in you if you're a hockey player.
For sure.
That's what they thought. And that's just the mentality of the city, and that's the mentality of, like, our people and our fans and stuff. So,
yeah.
That was my kind of guys. I loved all of them.
Yeah.
And you know, it's funny now, Rick Bone, Richie, we call him Rick Bone, he's goalie in men's league now. He's a fucking goalie. I'm like, Richie, what's wrong? Ah, fuck.
Winning. What else? Yeah, what else you got to do, man?
I know, right? He's won in every level, literally level, man. The guy's, but you're right. He's a hockey player for sure, man.
For sure.
And Chris Pronger is great choice as well. I played with Prongs, and what a warrior and leader, and just the heart. The old, you know, one of the few old school guys that was still kicking around when I was still playing. But
he was good. And make an outlet pass right on your tape anywhere.
Dude,
For a guy that wasn't really, like, moving around real fast, he would just hold it there and then boom, right on your tape, out you go. I used to watch, I watched every single game. Never missed a game. When I was young, my parents had to throw me upstairs in the bedroom because I'd be yelling at the TV. They weren't winning.
The passion.
That's where the passion comes from, right?
I'm screaming at the TV, like, if they're losing 2-1 in Calgary or something. You know, Wednesday night, I got to school the next day. My parents are sending me upstairs. I go upstairs, turn the TV on, and my dad's, I hear his feet. I turn it off, act like I'm sleeping. And, yeah, it was just my whole life. It was always Flyers. I'd go to school, your dad, Flyers t-shirt, Flyers hat, whatever.
Oh, that's awesome.
That was my – so to wind up playing here now, it's just like dream come true kind of. And 2 years ago, people have been messaging me. I had to tell you guys this. I was playing at the Rangers, so Flyers became my rival. And they weren't picking me up. They never traded for me. I was like, fuck them.
Yeah.
And they're doing this little stupid questionnaire, like, on Instagram. And they were like, who's your least favorite team in the NHL? It's Philadelphia. Right? On purpose. Just stir it up a little bit.
Yeah.
And when I sign there, people think it's serious. You know, meanwhile, I always love the Flyers, and they think it's serious. Like, he hates the team. They're messaging me and then tagging me in comments.
Of course they are.
But, it was always number one. And I was in Sanheim's draft. So Sanheim went 17. I went 19.
Right.
I was pissed, you know, because I wanted to go to the Flyers. I wanted to go in two picks later. But, no, it's worked out really cool. 7 years later, we're here.
You got a lot of career left too, so it's hopefully you're here more than 2 years.
Yeah, a lot more than two.
Me too. That's for sure.
Yeah. you planning on checking for charity this year?
I think I'm going to put a team in. I just decided today. I'm late. I don't have jerseys made. I don't have anything done. I kind of was being lazy, but last year it got a little slowed down a little bit. We didn't have the right amount of teams, but this year I think we got 5 real good teams.
Oh, cool.
So once I heard about that, I was like, all right, then I'm going to play.
There you go.
So now I'm recruiting. I'm already.
I'm already on a team. I know what you were thinking, Tony. But,
you came here to recruit.
I'm playing in the 50 and over league the division.
What team are you guys?
Bauer Brew.
Because the guys. So Mitch from Voorhees, I know.
Yeah.
You know Mitch. They do my jersey. I always coach with them. He coach selects and stuff in the summer. I do some of their kids' teams. So they do my jerseys. Prime Hockey now, actually.
Okay.
Prime or whatever it's called. So they sponsor me, but they got. I tried to get Danny B on my team the last couple of years. He said, no, I can't keep up. I can't keep up with the young guys. I said, I'm telling you, you can keep up with us. So I'll put, you know, if you want to play, I'll get 10 forwards even if you want a little breather. But I tried to get him. But he's in that league, isn't he?
He played in the 40. Same division we did last year.
We played with the Philadelphia Warriors. Yeah. I'm sure you'll meet a lot of those guys.
Colby was on a team. Colby.
Yeah, he was on our team. Yeah.
I remember I was watching that. I was sitting upstairs watching.
Oh, really?
Yeah, ready to sorry. Play. Yeah, was you definitely don't want me on your team if you saw me play.
It was pretty ugly.
Hey, well, we didn't win a game. I don't think we won a game.
How's the team this year? Any good?
We're trying to decide if we can get a team in last minute. We were going to play with the Warriors, but it looks like they have so many. They have 4 lines.
Yeah,
and
it's too much.
Yeah, I'm not going to say be a 4th line guy and checking for charity. I'm way past that.
Looking for the 1st line now.
Yeah, exactly. First line minutes, yeah.
That's hilarious. Yeah, but it was it's fun to go.
It's a great tournament.
That place gets packed, too.
It's a good tournament. Yeah. You know, you go out, like, we go out in the city after, usually on the Friday night, and, you know, some guys go to the shore Saturday, whatever, guys do different things. Some guys go, you know, all the way, and then we go to the Morgan Spear every time, just about.
Oh,
and then you got every team there. Like, it's pretty cool. You're seeing guys you haven't seen, and guys you play with and stuff. from the A division, B division. Like, I think it's a good time. So I'm hoping I could piece together. Usually I'm recruiting, and everybody gets mad at me at tournament because I'm bringing in guys from all over. But I got guys from Toronto flying in. I said, well, we're going to win this tournament.
Yeah,
of course.
So, but this year I'm just going to keep it local. It's too late to get guys to try to commit. It'll be fun.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, hopefully we'll see you around there.
Yeah. I'll have to check out one of the games. You guys put the team together.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you want to watch
dangling.
Unless you want to take a nap. Get you ready to have a little nap.
Yeah, right. Get your pillow.
Get your pillow.
A little rest.
Oh, man. Yeah, I don't know if we're going to get our team in or not. But
yeah, I don't know.
We'll see. On that other team, but I'd rather play in we did last year.
Definitely not going to be on a fourth line.
No. Anyway.
Away from the rink, what are you into? What kind of hobbies are you into?
Honestly, I like golf, but I suck. Yeah. So it's kind of like it's really not.
You don't suck as bad as me. That.
It's like I want to play it, and I go buy a new club. I just got the new driver. I got that new stealth driver, and like, what am I going to do with it? My driver's actually not that bad, believe it or not. So that's why I'll buy a driver.
Yeah,
because I could drive. Once I get on the fairway, I suck. But these guys, I was talking to some of the young guys today I skated with, and I was like, "What have you guys been doing? Like after hanging out? Because they're not from here,
right?
Like, they're just living in the apartments or whatever." And they're like, oh, we play golf every day. I'm like, I can never play golf every day.
No.
Yeah. I get mad. I'm like a whole 7-8. I'm either pissed and don't want to play anymore. Like, I'll keep playing, but I'm like pissed and then my day's done. Or I'm kind of like, all right, let's just, if I hit a good shot, I'll finish the hole. If I don't, I'm bullshitting in the cart.
Like, yeah, that sounds exactly like my style. Yeah, I mean, nine holes max.
I couldn't do it every day. Like, maybe twice a week, once a week, whatever. If I played every day, maybe I'd get better, but I don't have the passion for it as much. I like it. I like just hanging out with the guys.
Yeah.
So, this weather right now, I played nine holes yesterday with my old man, and it's awful.
You got to play like 7:30, 8 if
you do. Yeah,
exactly.
Even then,
it's humid, yeah.
Morning, yeah, for sure.
Oh, man.
You're also growing up here, you're all Philly, right? Like Phillies, Eagles.
Eagles, Sixers. If I had to go in order, like obviously the Flyers number one, but if I had to go in order after that, it's Eagles, Philly, Sixers.
Okay.
I love the Eagles.
Yeah.
I'm already trying to figure out who I'm going to text to get as close to the sideline as I can for the opening game if I'm home.
There you go.
So I'm a diehard Eagles guy. All Philly is.
Greg Dilimitros is the head equipment guy. He's my buddy. You heard it. Tony wants sideline.
I'm going to meet him. I live right across the street right now from now I'm just giving away my address.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you guys
from
after.
From the skate zone. From the skate zone.
In case you have it first right now, it doesn't like me watching. They might be tailgating out front of my house. Waiting to see me in the morning.
Oh, that's funny, man.
Beautiful.
We were talking a little bit earlier about, your feistiness and your chirping, which I used to love when guys chirp. Man, we had some good ones, but Ben Eager being probably one of the best. I don't even know if you know Ben Eager. Yeah, he was a big man. Yeah. But you were talking earlier, and you were talking about like a guy. We were talking about Ryan Kessler, a buddy of mine, and he was always not liked by other teams. I mean, him and Marshawn were going at it the 2016 World Cup, and you were kind of telling us something about that. I thought it was pretty funny, if you don't mind.
I was like I was telling you guys, we were sitting, guys coming in the blue line, we're lining up, the puck's not even dropped yet, and I'm just yapping at him, the left-handed defenseman, that may have been a power play, I don't even know who it was, it could have been, the more I think back, I feel like it was Tyson Barry, in a sense, and I can't say it was him, though, so I don't want to put it on like it was him,
right.
But that's the first thing that comes to mind, because I would chirp him when he, turns and goes, actually it wasn't him, he's on Edmonton this year, I didn't play him, he goes, nobody likes you, Tony. And he just said it in the most calm way, whoever the guy was. And then Slavo is sitting right next to me, and he's quiet as it gets. Like, nobody more quiet than Slavo. Doesn't say a word on the bench. He's like, I like him. And but the guy that was chirping me, like, wasn't like, wasn't like giving it to me or anything.
Right.
He's like, dude, none of your teammates like you. He's like, no one likes you. And they say it all the time. I don't know why that's a chirp. It's the dumbest one ever.
Right.
Yeah, and it doesn't bother me. Like, I if you're going to do a chirp, like, make it a good one.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Fire away. Creative. I don't care. You can go low blow for all I care. Yeah, right. Fire away, but don't give me that one. That one sucks.
Well, that's what we were talking about funny. With Kessler. Like, Marshawn said to him, your teammates, so your own team doesn't even like you. He goes, oh, I've never heard that one before, But
that's the one.
That's hilarious.
The guys do it all the time because this is my fourth team. So then, the suitcase one. See, those don't really – don't do much for me. I like real good ones. Like, even when guys on the team make a good one, obviously I'm not going to act like I thought it was funny, but I'll come back to the bench and tell somebody.
That was pretty good.
Exactly. You know it's pretty good.
I got to get it back.
Yeah.
I said, that was nice.
Oh,
I was sure with Raquel Gudas this year, bench to bench, and we really, honestly, it just turned into like an FU match. There was, for no reason, like, there was no nice chirps. It was just like, I'm going to kill you.
Yeah.
And on both sides. Next shift you get out there, we're going to kill each other. And nothing went up happening.
No.
You know, the game was like as quiet as quiet as it gets. I was like, what is this?
Do you know him at all off the ice?
You know, no, I heard he's a great, I know him from when I was in Tampa. They say he's a nice guy in the world. I was rookie there. Like, they were on their own page, the vets in camp stuff. Everyone said hello, but you weren't, like, getting to know them too well.
Right.
Went down to the minors a week later. Then he got traded to the Flyers. And everyone said he's a great guy. Like, then he's trying to, like, then he's trying to take your knee out on the ice, though.
You're
I'm like, well.
How great of a guy. No, but he is. He really.
Everyone says he's a good guy. Even the Florida guys I know, they're like, he's unreal.
Yeah,
he's the best guy in the world.
He's one of my favorite guys in 25 years that I have. Like,
I've heard nothing but good things about him.
Guy's amazing human being.
On the ice, though, I got nothing but.
I hear you.
Yeah, he plays the game hard and rides that line.
He does.
And a lot of times crosses over, you know.
He's looking for the kill shot.
Yeah.
There's a difference between looking for a big hit and looking for the kill shot.
Yeah.
You know, where the guy's like this, and his head's down, and then he's like, he's licking his chops. Here he comes.
Yeah.
But he hits hard, too.
Oh, yeah.
Even when he hits you with your head up looking at him. Like,
he's solid.
He's
a
solid man. He's a solid man. Get ready to duck into it. He's still going to hit you hard.
I think he had a beard when he was like 12.
Well, that's what I remember. I said it to him. Like, was it strange being junior, you know, being playing at 12 years old and having a full beard? And he goes, I don't think I had a full beard then. you just made me think of something. You played a little bit in the minors for Hartford. Well, you played Tucson too, but Hartford and Syracuse. Those are tough spots. No?
Or Tucson surely wasn't.
No, Tucson's good. No, I said Hartford.
Syracuse.
You played Syracuse.
I played Syracuse, man.
Syracuse was, we all lived down there. There was not much going on there.
Right.
It wasn't like a beat-up town or anything. It wasn't bad. There's nothing going on. I mean, listen, I was a young guy. I was single at the time. You had Syracuse University right there. So
right.
That's true.
Not terrible. I mean, it's 40,000 people at that school. There's enough over there, like, to have fun. And West Hartford was actually nice. Like, like, nice town. Like, it was like living in Cherry Hill or something.
Oh.
But then, you know, Hartford downtown in the city was no good.
Right.
You know, there's just nothing there at all.
Yeah, that's what I meant. I just wanted
not many
if it
fans
was...
or anything. Syracuse is a good crowd. Like, it's actually not a terrible spot for the AHL. Obviously, you want to be in like Toronto or out west in Tucson, one of the six spots.
Yeah,
but Harvard be the worst of the three for sure.
Okay,
so I didn't mind Syracuse. What about you?
Yeah, I was only there for about a month and a half. Yeah. I just felt like it was like dark and gloomy.
Yeah,
and
like, terrible weather. Like, I feel like all the time.
Yeah, always snowing all the time.
I just remember, Tony, like, I'm not sure who your equipment guy was. Rodney Blatchford your equipment guy when you were there? Do you remember?
No. Okay. He's in Vegas now. J.W.
Oh, J-Dub. Oh, yeah. I know J-Dub. So,
good guy.
Rodney was there before you.
Yeah, I know Rodney.
And
we
actually saw him at the trainer's meeting
we did.
A few weeks ago. But, dude, I swear to God, I would go in there early. I'd be early. It was like a ghost. It was like. It was haunted. Yeah. There's no one in the building.
Well, it's that old, like, War Memorial. It's called.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, War Memorial. He would always be
in
down
the basement,
in the basement.
Yeah, they got, like, grinding wheels.
Upstairs, you got, like, the World War II things, and then, you know, you go downstairs, you got a hockey game going on.
It was just, like, I just remember, like, one of the boys would ask for something, and I'd be like, let me try to find someone.
Yeah.
I literally couldn't find anyone in the building.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, how is this place?
They made that Who downstairs nice, too.
Did they? Yeah.
Like,
did
the downstairs for the players was nice. Like,
weight room.
And you had to walk all the way upstairs and come to the dressing room, and then the dressing room wasn't anything special.
Right.
I actually thought the rink was pretty cool, though. It was like a
old
AHL style rink.
Yeah,
it was
for
old
sure.
school. And,
yep.
And that year I played, like I was telling you before, like, that was the final year I feel like the AHL being kind of a little bit wild in a sense. Then it's really gone to, like, prospects and development, like full developmental now.
Yeah.
You know, some veteran guys still down there. But, so we had some fun games and there, and the fans loved it.
They absolutely
loved it.
And Syracuse always had tough teams.
Yeah,
that I remember, like, back in the day, they always carried, like, three or four
Well, they had a private owner, too. Like, you know, even though Tampa's with them, and I'm sure other teams were with them before, I think Anaheim was with them before and stuff, their owner was, like, he owned the team. It wasn't, like, the NHL team.
Right.
Owner. So he knew what the fans wanted there. So it was almost like, hey, like, I still own a team, even though Tampa's signing these guys at two ways. We still want some ticket sellers.
Yeah, well, that's exactly. He knows what sells, for
exactly.
sure.
I remember they had big, bad John Baduke. His thing is bad.
Oh, it's still up there, yeah.
Yeah, it's still up there.
I never heard of him.
And he was a tough guy, and every time he got on the ice, they'd play this little clip from some song and be like, Big Bad John. Like, as he got on his shift.
That was going way back.
That's Weight Watch when Frankie Bailo.
Yeah, yeah, right.
I mean, that's a
just
long,
a little clip they would play when he's out there.
Yeah, the other team's probably like, oh, God. Big Bad John. You know, it was just kind of funny. But Hot Rod, our buddy who's at Syracuse now, he was with the Crunch for a long time. But I remember, sorry, Rodney, if you're going to get mad at me, but I remember one of the funniest things. This guy's so dry.
He was so
funny. But he got loaded, and he lost his car. He couldn't remember where the boys
lost
all
his car?
Went out. Yeah, he drove to the main place they went, but No one could remember where he had parked. And he didn't have his car for like 10 days. Right? Hot rod. And he goes.
It's serious.
He's like, fuck. He's like, we don't know where my car is. I'm like, what? I'm like, how big is this? Syracuse, it can't be that big. And I guess it was like 9 to 10 days, and one of the boys came and goes, "Hot Rod, we found your car." I'm like, holy fuck, you must have been loaded.
Oh, man. Yeah. How did that happen? Maybe underneath just like, the snow pile, probably.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, true. That's a good point.
So much snow up there, man.
It was
terrible.
It was gloomy, you're right. It was gloomy, man. Dark.
It reminded me of, like, yeah, Bingo. I had a just good like night really Harvard. Dark cloud over top of that
bingo,
place.
Bingo. Syracuse looks like Las Vegas compared to Bingo.
Bingo, my God.
You know what? I used to go every day. And then I started getting some guys coming. We were like every single day. We'd drive up. It's in between Utica and Syracuse, the casino.
Oh, okay.
Why the hell? I forget what it was called. Talking Stone, maybe, or something. Maybe that's in Arizona. I don't know. Whatever the casino was, we'd go up there like every day. We had cars. We're getting like free turkey clubs, as you know, for playing so much.
Sure.
Yeah.
Like here, you got to go to the cafeteria to get food. But there was not a ton to do, like I said. So we'd go up there and play. Play a few hands. I thought I was friggin' Daniel Legrand who playing poker over there. Trying to shove people in right away. Like, the first day I get five, I'll just shove you in.
Yeah.
And then, like, these people know, too. I feel like they're playing together. But, it was pretty fun.
That's awesome.
It's a good time down there. You're, like, you're so close with the guys.
Yeah,
it's
for
a lot
sure.
of young guys and stuff. Like, everybody just hangs out. So it's almost more fun in a sense. And then you get to the NHL, a lot of older guys married, kids.
Right.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it doesn't get any better than playing the NHL. But sometimes the NHL, there's some real good times you have with the young guys. Yeah.
100%. I had some of my best times.
Yeah, for sure.
You're still like you're a junior.
I was just going to say that. It's kind of like that bleed over from junior. Yeah,
it's like a big paid party. Junior league.
Yeah,
when you first
sure.
get there, you get like 7 21-year-olds, and then you get a couple vets that still want to be 21, and they want to hang out with you guys.
Yeah.
On the bus. Right. So it's a good time.
Yeah, for sure.
I feel like some guys, everyone, who the hell wants to get to the NHL faster than NHL? Like, we all want to get there as fast as we can. But a lot of guys, like myself included, I was pissed when I got sent down.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
I could have made it. I was with Tampa. They were loaded. So I had a real good idea I was getting sent down. But then when you get sent down, you kind of like, you know, it's almost worth it. It's worth the ride. Like, you go there, you know, you do what you got to do there, you develop. Because I probably wasn't ready, even though I thought I was ready. That's
right.
Just a young kid. I was first round pick. I'm like, I'm ready to go. Let's go.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you learn there and you play. I want to play 140 games in the minors.
Did you play?
Yeah,
them?
And I went up with the Rangers and back down, and then you really want to get back up. But
yeah, you get that
worth,
taste.
Yeah, it was worth every second. I think sure. it was all worth it.
Yeah, I always say, like, you know, having coached the Flyers minor league team, the Phantoms, I feel like unless you're like a first overall, you know, elite pick, everyone should play at least half of a season, not a full season in the minors.
Yeah. It's trending that way now a little more. I feel like But yeah, if you're a McDavid or whatever,
if you
could contribute right away, like in a real way,
sure.
If you're contributing in a half-assed way, kind of like just getting by, then you might as well take the time to develop because there's so many good players in that league too.
Exactly.
So arguing with somebody today about what the second best league is, obviously the NHL would be number one. I don't know if it would be the AHL or one of them.
KHL. One of
the, yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, that's a good. I don't know anymore. I don't know.
I don't know, like, yeah, exactly. I don't know anymore either. I wouldn't be able to tell, but I was saying AHL just to piss them off.
Yeah, for sure. Well, certainly be younger, you know. Because, I mean, most guys.
Yeah, it's the most, older leagues over there. The most guys that are getting ready to be impact players in NHL. Sure, there's some real good KHL guys, but usually they come over and they're pretty good.
Yeah.
A lot of them, but you're not signing their whole team.
Yeah.
You know, half of an AHL roster could wind up playing in the NHL.
For sure.
Usually.
Yep.
You know, if you have good prospects and stuff. So it's interesting.
Yeah, just younger, just earlier on in the development. Yeah,
they're like 19, 20. Where the KHL guys, you know, we're signing them guys when you get them like 26, 27, 28, and they're like ready to be impact guys. Like, they're at that age.
For sure.
The Flyers signed Belmar when he was 29.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, he was in the KHL?
He wasn't in the KHL. I think he was playing in the Swedish, top league there.
Yeah,
it was a good sign.
But, he, you know, 29 years old, and he, you know, he's still going, but he's in ridiculous shape. This guy's like, he could probably play like 40 easily.
Yeah.
Like, he's got to be, 36, 37.
I was
going to
say, he's got to be creeping
but,
on 40.
But anyway, you're right, though. They come over. We had that Medvedev.
Oh, yeah, right, yeah.
God, what a beauty, man. Jesus, he came from the KHL. He was like, well, how old was he, baller? 33? He looked like he was 24.
Yeah.
The man, I remember him.
Yeah, and he was, and he just didn't get a fair shake. To me, by the guy coaching the D at that time, and the boys loved him. Like, he was so funny. He didn't speak a lot of English when he first got here, but everything he said was fucking funny.
Yeah.
Like, everything was funny, and he learned a lot more. And I'll never forget the last game of the year. we were playing it. We were in the playoffs. We had made the playoffs. We'd already clinched, which is odd in the last, I mean, I hate saying that, in the last 8 to 9 years, realistically. But we had clinched, and we were playing in Brooklyn, playing the Islanders, and we had Sam Gagner on the team.
Yeah.
And Meddy hit him with a pass. He snapped a pass through two guys coming at him, and Gagner picked it up. And he, as soon as he looks up, there's a guy coming to hit him, and he toe drags the guy. And as he toe drags the guy, of course, the bench is like, oh, and Meddy comes skating by and goes, woo! Like that, and the whole bench just died laughing. He was just a great guy. But, yeah, we spoke about Fedotov, who was supposed to come here, and that's just, I talked to Provy, that was FaceTiming with Ivan the other day, and he was like, I think he's got to serve some time over there with the
I guess
whole
so,
thing,
yeah.
You know, like,
I heard this guy's real good, too.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
I don't know much about him. From what I've heard, though, even the Russian guys, I know, like, he's...
Yeah.
Legit. He
25? 25 or 26, something like that?
Yeah, I think so.
He was signed as his backup, was he not?
Yeah, he came to development camp when I was still there a couple years ago, and he didn't speak
was he good?
English. He looked good. He was around, big. He looked like a goalie.
They're just popping goalies all over the place out of there. It's insane.
Yeah, it is.
Like, his Russian goalie. You draft the Russian goalie 4 years later, he's... Like, Shesterkin, New York, obviously everybody knows Vasi. But then there's another kid at Askrov or something from Nashville. Like, there's a million guys. They're all Russian.
And they're every year. Big bodies, too.
Yeah, they're huge. Yeah, Sorokin's in on the island. He's pretty good.
Right?
They're all Russians. I don't know what they're doing. I asked my goalie coach in Carolina. I was like, hey, what is going on over there that we're not doing here?
Yeah.
Like, how are they just pumping out these stud goalies all the time?
High-end
like, we're getting a ton of guys. You look at the draft, it's usually American, Canadian dominating, like, at least half of the first round, usually. I said, every goalie, it's only, you know, outside of, like, Spencer Knight, I guess, it's been high pick. It's only Russians.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're doing.
I feel like the Russians are always ahead of the training, or they're finding loopholes in the.
I always kid with Provy. I'm like, are you lining up for your vitamins while you're home? He's like, I've never done that, because Zhitnik told us that. He goes, well, when we were 13, they line us up and give us our vitamins.
Your B12 shot.
Yeah, there's your B12 shot.
Like 40 things. Ass and legs.
Oh, that B12 shot.
He was tall too, Zhitnik.
I think any Russian that plays in the league could be. He could look like he's 21 if he's 21. He could look like he's 40. Everyone's telling him he's older. Doesn't matter. He could look like the youngest guy in the league. You'll tell him he's 30.
That's just
what they get. They laugh about it, though. They never shut it down.
That's
totally.
Right.
They say, that's funny. Right. Like, I'm 28.
Oh, man.
Well, we appreciate you coming on, man. This has been awesome. I know you got probably a golf course to go hit.
Golf course holes to play. My clubs at.
Yeah, right? Oh, man,
to come on.
We appreciate you, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, man, looking forward to the season and seeing you in action.
Same here. I'm ready to go.
Tear some shit
up. You know, it's only July. I'm ready, right? Looking to put the jersey on, get going.
Yeah, no doubt.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I appreciate it, fellas.
All right, my
Thanks
man.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode, and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.